You live in a world of choices. Today, you made the right choice.
I can't even get past it. It's just... it's so big.
This is The Drop.
Today on The Drop,
Mike Davidson.
I'm interested in sports. I'm interested in entertainment. I'm interested in the arts. And technology, to me, is a means to experience that stuff.
Rosie Thomas.
Everyone drinks Avian water and jogs, and I thought, how sad it is that the media does what it does to us. It just had me start to think about success and what success is to some people. It's who you are as a person, that, and it's not by what you do that is your identity. It's who you are that's your identity, and then it's what you choose to do.
Now, here's the host of The Drop, Dan Portnoy.
Hello, and welcome to the show. We've got a great one in store for you. How do I know that? Well, I actually schedule. I'm the schedule guy, too, so I learned that way. But this week's episode is filled with some incredible music. Incredible. And why do we do this? Well, for you, of course. That's the whole thing. My name's Dan Portnoy. I am glad that you've joined us. Thank you for tuning in. It's been a crazy, crazy time here at the Drop Studios as we're trying to figure out all that is happening in the world of the internet. And so I'd like to tell you a little story, if I may. A little adventure happened to me. I mean, the big thing in the news right now is the price of gas. Gas is going, everybody's talking about, oh, the price is going up, it's doing this, it's doing that, you know, that kind of thing. But I don't really care too much about, I mean, the price of gas is important, don't get me wrong, but does it really affect me? I guess it does, but because I'm not 70 and living on a fixed income, it's not as big a deal. Well, and just the mad amounts of cash that just flow in because of the podcasting genre in general. So what are you going to do there? Anyway, I was recently involved in an adventure with some gas, but it wasn't because of gas. It's actually because of the lack of gas. I was driving down the road. I had just hung out with my brother and his wife. We watched the movie The Village, which, by the way, M. Night Shyamalan, amazing. Definitely one of my favorite directors. But the deal is with him, we were watching The Village, and I own this movie, okay? But I'm still jumping when, you know, just when he wants me to. And I how does he do that? I don't know, but that's why I love him. Really looking forward to his movie coming up, Lady in the Water. So we'll all check that out. But anyway, so I'm driving back and doing just what I do, which is on Sunday night was listening to Richard Marx pretty loud. And like him, I'm not going to stop till I'm satisfied. So take that. As I'm jamming out in my car, it starts to hiccup. And if you've ever run out of gas, you know what I'm talking about. The problem was when it finally died, lucky for me, I was able to pull into a parking lot. The neatest part was that it was the parking lot right across from the biker bar here in town. And being sans phone, which I've learned means, which is French for without phone, I was able to go over to the biker bar and ask if they have a payphone. Now, this isn't just your average biker bar. This is the kind of biker bar where the women are named Gigi, Stella, and Bill. This is a tough place, and a lot of mustaches. I know they're back. I know it's popular to have a mustache. I still can't do it. I feel like my name's supposed to be Ted or Chester. Anyway, but I go into the biker bar and ask for a phone, and they said, "No, we don't have one." Wait a minute. Why not? What's the deal? And everybody's got cell phones. So I actually was smaller than most of the women in there, so I was afraid. So I left and got to tour. Take a little trip up a couple blocks to the I found a fill station there. And so I'm going up, and the funny part is I live in kind of not a rural area, but it's definitely not city. I grew up in Boston, but, so this is really not city at all. This is very country. It's like the Berkshires. So anyway, I'm driving up the street, so it's not very common when people are walking on the street. So I'm walking on the street and I come to a group of people, and they're people about in their early or late teens, early 20s. And the scariest part is that then there's all these thoughts that go through my head, and I'm kind of a worst case scenario. And I think a lot of guys do this, like, okay, I'm driving down the road and you go by those tanker trucks. Now, what if one of them blows up? And I kind of just rehearse a scenario just in case, you know, cause then I can rip open my shirt. There's an S, we go from there. But these guys are walking down the street, and, I've got this little thing in my head, just like, okay, you are a crazy dude. You're crazy. So if they say anything, you're just going to be crazy, and then you're going to be fine. And I don't know why, because I live in this little, like, kind of hamlet, this little bedroom community kind of thing. It's just the way it rolls. But I don't know. Maybe it's leftover. You know, post-traumatic stress back in Nam. I was flying Black Ops. Anyway, so staying on point. Get up the street, get to the fill station, and then do a little phone call. Hey, can you help me out? Can you bring a gas can? And that kind of thing. And while I'm waiting for help to arrive, I get to people watch. Now, that's one of the things I really like to do, and most people do, and it's really kind of fun. And if you do get a chance, if not to hang out at the mall parking lot, because that's kind of stalkerific, but more just, you know, as you're sitting there in, at the mall, usually Christmas time, it's always fun to watch people and see what their reactions are to things. So I got to just kind of hang out at the fill station, which also is code for picking up my weed. And so while I'm doing that, you know, I've got all this kind of crazy traffic just coming in, and I just had no idea that this is what kind of traffic rolled into this this gas station. A lot of minivans on 20s, and a lot of TI and the like. I'm just roaring out of these minivans, and I'm just like, wow, that's odd. That is just strange odd. The nice part about it is my help did come not too long after that, and was able to rectify the situation and get home safely, and even as a crazy white dude, like I am. So there it is. Well, on the show tonight, we've got a lot coming at you. Rosie Thomas is here, and if you're like me and cruising the internet for a lot of different things, Rosie is, they've just announced that she's going to be doing a collaboration with Sufjan Stevens and with Dennis and Whitmer, and it's going to be wild. So I'm really excited, one, to hear that, and two, share the interview with you. The other is Mike Davidson, and you might not know him as a household word, but you know a lot of the stuff he's done, and he's a creator of Newsvine, and we are really excited to have him. I'm really excited to have him on the show. I think it's going to be great. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Making other podcasts smell, look, taste, feel, and sound terrible. This is The Drop.
Where the women are named Gigi, Stella, and Bill.
Coming up on future episodes of The Drop, Andy Ziff, Brad Damas, the Watson Twins, and him. To find out more about The Drop, visit us online at thedroponline.com.
Okay, coming up a little bit in the show, we've got Mike Davidson. Now, Mike Davidson, you might not say to yourself, I know that name. Well, I do, and some other people do, and that's cool. But, you know, so you don't know that name, and I want to help you. I want to be your friend. So I've brought in here Drop correspondent and technology consultant to The Drop, Mr. Ryan Portnoy. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me, Dan.
Well, in addition to having some nepotism here on the show, yeah. Tell us a little bit about, you know, for the guy on the street, Mike Davidson, what has he done? Well, who is he? What's going on with him?
More or less, Mike Davidson is the man behind the curtain. He is the man behind ESPN.com, ABC News. You know, he was the creative director, I believe, art director for Disney, as well as he has now created a news service called Newsvine, among many other things. But that is just a smidgen of what he has done.
Okay, cool. Now, this Newsvine thing, Newsvine.com, we can go there and you can sign up. And it takes about a minute to sign up, and then you can actually be giving your opinion on news stories and other things. There's a whole community there.
Absolutely.
In about another minute. What does this mean in terms of Web 2.0 or that whole thing, taking back the web?
Well, it's just it gives you, the reader, just an opportunity not just to read the news, but to be a part of it, to add to it, to make it more of a story to you. And that's what this whole Web 2.0 thing is all about, making the internet a smaller place as opposed to some big impersonal area. You know, it allows for someone in Istanbul to be posting and you have a conversation with them about the same topic, when in reality you would have no other reason to talk to that person.
Cool.
So,
well, now we welcome to the show Newsvine creator and web standards pioneer Mike Davidson. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
Oh, cool. Well, we are, both Ryan and I are just thrilled with this stuff that you've done. Give me kind of a brief definition on web standards for those of us who aren't so super cool.
Yeah, so web standards are really all about changing the way that we code on the web. And you know, everybody who's been coding for, you know, at least a few years has heard the web standards mantra beaten into their heads, you know, many, many times. And it's sort of, you know, become a de facto way to code. But, you know, for people that haven't been around for perhaps as long as some of the veterans, you know, the way things were coded back in the day, you know, in the 90s, let's say, was fairly different depending on what, you know, what browsers you were targeting. So, you know, Netscape code looked one way, and then you forked your IE code another way, and then you forked your Mac IE code another way, and it was really more code gymnastics than anything else. It was how many different ways do I have to write this code to get it to work in all browsers. And so the web standards mantra, the good part of the web standards mantra is, hey, guys and girls, let's all start doing things the same way, and let's put pressure on browser makers to support what we're doing and support a correct way of coding accessible websites. So that's the upside of standards, is that when you use them correctly, they save all sorts of time, they make for more accessible websites, they make your code smaller, they make it more maintainable. The downside of web standards is, just like the downside of everything else, if you get too religious about it, you can kind of turn people away, and you can kind of make their jobs harder. So there's sort of this pro web standards movement, and there's this mini anti-web standards movement, and it's not even really anti-web standards, it's just anti-over-the-top web standards evangelism. And I think between those two forces that have been kind of like, you know, battling each other over the last couple of years, we've ended up in a pretty good place, which is practical web standards.
Excellent. Now, you're the brains behind ESPN.com and the whole redo.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm the brains behind it, but I play a little part in it. A few years ago, ESPN was the first major media site to actually adopt web standards and get rid of all the proprietary code that I talked about a few minutes ago. And it was, you know, it was an important, I would like to think it was an important, turn in sort of the world of coding, because what we did is we were able to kind of prove that a company of 200,000 people was able to do things correctly on the code side. Whereas before, people were kind of trying to find excuses like, you know, why should I do my code this way? All the big sites don't do their code this way. Well, we were a big site and we did things correctly. So by kind of, you know, raising the flag and saying, hey guys, doesn't matter how big or how small you are, you can, you know, you can do things the way you're supposed to do them. We would like to think that we played a big part in the rapid standardization of good code on the net.
Now, how difficult was it to get ESPN to buy into this idea of web standards, or was it difficult at all?
You know what? I would be lying if I said that I thought it was difficult. I mean, it was a question of talking to the right people and making the right sorts of arguments. So you can't go into a room full of marketing people and say, we need to write standards compliant code so that it validates. Like, that doesn't mean anything to most people in the world. That doesn't mean anything to 99% of the people in the world. So that's not how you make an argument for web standards. The way you make an argument is you make a practical argument. You say, okay, you're a marketing person. You have a budget. That budget is dependent on many things in this company. One of them is how much it costs us to run this website. We can lower the cost of running this website if we code it correctly. If we reduce the amount of total pages in our site, and we reduce the amount of code per page, and we reduce the amount of time it takes to maintain all of these pages within our site, it won't cost us as much to run, and we can spend more money on the things we should be spending them on, like getting more exposure and making more elaborate marketing campaigns. So depending on who you're talking to, you've got to make the right sort of argument. And for us, it really wasn't very hard. It was an hour-long meeting of outlining exactly why this needed to be done, and there wasn't a dissenting hand in the room.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Now, moving on to your current stuff, as a creator of Newsvine, and I will go so far as to say definitely the brains behind the operation on that. what is it about Newsvine, for getting people involved and setting up a community of like, hey, this is important for me? And we've seen things like Dig and some of this other stuff kind of do it, but Newsvine has really gone leaps and bounds beyond that of blogging and being able to do some clipping and this, that, and the other thing, and you can check out your friends and you can see what they're doing and that, this, that, and the other thing. How did that all even come about? Was this just like, you know, you bumped your head hanging a clock and said 1.21 gigawatts and that happened, or what?
That's a good question. What ended up happening is we took a look at the sorts of sites we were working on, major media sites, ESPN, ABC News, all these sites within Disney that were getting all this traffic. These were mainstream sites where everybody was going to get their news. And we looked at like where all the innovation has been happening in media over the last couple of years. And it was at sites like, you know, Delicious and sites like Dig and just the blogosphere in general. With all of the, you know, great kind of innovations that were happening in personal publishing, we wanted to kind of see if we could take kind of that feel of, media innovation and apply it to more of a big media model. So What we did is we set out to make a site where you could get all of the news that you were used to getting from your major media sources, whether it be MSNBC.com or CNN.com or, you know, whatever, and give it the small media feel of the sites that were really doing groundbreaking work. So we signed a deal with the Associated Press. We signed another deal with ESPN. And as a consequence, we have almost all of the same content that you see on sites like CNN every day. I mean, people don't realize, you know, when you're reading a story on CNN, chances are it's an Associated Press story. That's the majority of stories on that site are Associated Press stories. So we figured, you know, why don't we get that same content, and why don't we allow you to add value to it? Why don't we allow you to comment on it? Why don't we allow you to chat about it right within the story itself? Why don't we allow you to do all the sorts of things with that story that you really want to do with it? And so the result has just been a really interesting mix of a big media site that you can actually interact with.
One question that's really been getting at me, I'd say, for the past couple of weeks now is, what is potentially in your mind the end product look like?
Well, I don't think there is an end product. I mean, I think one of the most important things that you can kind of admit to yourself from the very beginning is that whatever we build, it needs to keep evolving, and we need to admit to ourselves right away that we don't have everything figured out, and we probably never will. I mean, the only way to really ensure that you're giving your audience and your customers and your users exactly what they want is to keep listening to them and keep changing where necessary. So we've taken an iterative approach to it, and instead of drafting up a big 80-page spec document saying, okay, here's what we've come up with in the 3 months that we've thought about this site, and, you know, we're the geniuses, and, you know, we're going to go ahead and do this, and, you know, and that's that. We've said, okay, here's what we think that people want, and here's what we think we can do in a given amount of time, and here's what we think we can do a few months after that. And by keeping a kind of a loose schedule like that, we're able to kind of build the site in iterations and react to our users as features come out. So we roll code multiple times per day, and we roll features almost every week. And whenever we roll a feature, the first thing we do is post about it and say, hey, what does everybody think? Here's, you know, we just launched threaded comments earlier this week, and we posted about it and said, here's the new threaded comment system. Hey, everybody comment on it. What do you think? And we got, you know, within minutes, we started getting suggestions like, this isn't clear to me. This should do this. The thread should look like this instead of this. And, you know, we take those things and we listen to them, and we decide relatively quickly if these suggestions have merit or not. And if they do, we're not afraid to make changes. That's kind of one of the advantages of being a small company, is you're able to react a lot quicker to your customers. And I think in the end, your users really appreciate that, because they feel like they're making an impact on the site, and they should feel like that because they are.
Now, Mike, you are also a large sports fan.
Absolutely.
Recently, I think what gets me most about is saying, oh, okay, that Mike Davidson, wow, he's smart. He's got all this, you know, and you know, you can talk about resume, you can talk about accolades, you can talk about stuff you've done. But I think the thing that actually endears you most to me is my family. We grew up in Boston. We know heartache.
Oh, God.
We know heartache. We know heartache. But you, sir, also knew heartache very, very well, just recently talking about Washington and why God hates Washington State so much as far as sports are concerned. And this is what makes you real to me, and this is where we are kindred.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. And I do, you know, up until that World Series championship and those Patriots Super Bowls, you guys were in the same boat, I know.
Yes.
But, you know, we are the universally screwed over sports town right now. And actually, some people from Cleveland wrote in and said that Seattle and Cleveland are probably 1 and 2 in whatever order you'd like.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm not a tech guy. I'm interested in sports. I'm interested in entertainment. I'm interested in the arts. And technology, to me, is a means to experience that stuff. And,
sure.
And I mean, what Newsvine originally, I don't even know if I've really even said this in public, but I mean, Newsvine originally was going to be a sports-only site. When we first hatched the idea, it was like, okay, well, why don't we just have this big participatory sports site? We've got all these sports fans who, you know, need a voice and need a place to write online. And only after we started really getting into the product and coding it do we decide, well, you know, why are we shutting out every other topic under the sun just because we thought it was going to be a sports site originally? So yeah, I mean, I think to the extent that you can use technology to make people's lives easier and to let them experience things like sports and arts and entertainment in a stronger way, I think you're doing a great service.
Excellent. Well, Mike, we thank you so much for being on the show. Newsvine, people can go right now and sign up.
Thanks for having me, Dan. I appreciate it.
No problem. Take care.
Be sure to send us an email at info@thedroponline.com. Also, if you would like to know more about Dan Portnoy, visit danportnoy.com.
Well, we welcome Rosie Thomas to the show. Rosie, thanks so much for being here.
My pleasure indeed.
Well, it is so great to have you on the show. With If Songs Could Be Held, what was the idea behind it? It seems like a nice progression from where you've been coming from for the past couple years and you know, the influence of touring around with a guy like Sam Beam and some other stuff.
I think the idea, I wanted to try to, you know, I really wanted to challenge myself this time around in a different way. Every record I've done has felt challenging, but this one I just wanted to put myself in a different environment. I wanted to work with different people. I thought by doing that it would maybe push me in a direction that I probably on my own wouldn't, you know, have probably gone towards myself. And so I think I'm really, really big on collaboration. I really thought I needed to be pushed. So it was a real sort of intimidating record for me to do, but I couldn't be more proud of it, really. I really worked on choruses and bridges for the first time, and I love it because it's really helped change the way I'm writing now. So it was a great experience. You know, it was fun to be in L.A. too, because the weather was actually warm. It wasn't crap. I've been out here for about 5 years now, but I go home so often that I still feel like I maintain my home there as well as much as I can.
Rosie, how's it working on a label like Sub Pop with artists that range from Rogue Wave to The Rapture? Do you get to interact with these artists, or what happens?
Well, it depends. I mean, certainly having Damien live in Seattle as well. I mean, a lot of the artists don't live in the city, but, you know, it's been so good having, like, Sam and I becoming friends and being able to tour with him and to just to have his music so accessible to me, to be able to listen to the projects he's working on, to be able to sit with him as a friend and talk with him about life and writing and just to know where he is at. Like, all those things, I feel very, you know, it's weird how you kind of lose perspective sometimes. I ran into a girl at a thrift store last week, and she said, are you Rosie? And I said, yeah. And I thought, my first inclination was, oh, we must have gone to school together. And I said, oh, did we go to school together? And she said, no, I listened to your music. And I thought, wow, that's the best thing ever. And I was talking with her, and I said, you know, I just talked to Sam yesterday, Sam Beam, and we were somehow talking about music and just, you know, the environment of the people that you have around. And she said, you know what, that's so crazy that you talk to Sam Beam. And I'm like, it's those moments in which you realize that there are things you take for granted. And just the fact that Sam is such a good friend of mine, and I get to support him in what he does, and he's so talented, and Damien as well. You know, I look at every experience as such a good experience, and I have no complaints with them. I think it's my job to work as hard as I can, because I've been given an opportunity, and I know there are a lot of people that would, I know enough musicians that would do anything for that opportunity, so I make myself work hard, and then I'm grateful to them for giving me opportunities that I've been able to, you know, the life that I've been able to have. So when it comes to Sub Pop, I have nothing but good things really to say about them and what they've done for me and my life as well.
Okay, your upcoming collaboration with Sufjan Stevens and Denizen Whitmer, it's all over the web. What can you tell us about it, and what upcoming tour options do you have?
I won't be touring until, I think, April is when I'll probably start touring again. A U.S. tour then, and then go to Europe maybe in May. So it'll get busy again, which will be good for me. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that, man. When I get that stuff done, I can't wait to share it with you, because I think Sufjan and I, man, I'm telling you, I love singing with him. Like, I'm so inspired. Mm-hmm. Just spending time with him too. He's such an eccentric person. He's so I have so much fun with him. So it should be a really good time.
Well, it seems like the whole country has really gone, hey, we also would like to give Sufjan a hug. Like, the whole world.
I know.
It just is amazing.
Honestly, it's just, I can't even believe. Well, I shouldn't say I can't even believe that he's blown up. I can believe he has, but 3 years ago we did a tour together, and he was, you know, it was just I could see the buzz happening at that point, and just to see where he's at now, I'm like, wow.
I love the new album and been able to check out the video for the single Pretty Dress. Can you tell us a little bit about the song?
Kind of just observing people and it's such a different pace there, you know, and everyone drinks Avion water and jogs, and I thought, how sad it is that the media does what it does to us, especially for women and, well, people in general, to think, it's just had me start to think about success and what success is to some people and what it means to me and how that I, you know, that I definitely know that it's who you are as a person that is most important, and it's not by what you do that is your identity. It's who you are that's your identity, and then it's what you choose to do that allows you to share yourself with people. And I thought how opposite we feel about that mostly. You know, the first question people ask you most of the time is, what do you do for a living? As if that's pretty much everything that represents who you are. It sort of had me think about the song pretty much is just geared to sort of let people know, or letting myself know, that there are times in your life that you wonder, am I good enough? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? And just the song is really meant to just kind of, I don't know, portray that we're all going to be just fine, and we're all going to sort of get to where we need to be. We're all going to hopefully be in the place that, and if we can trust that, you know, that our lives are where they're meant to be, and that we're all sort of beautiful in our own unique way, and all talented in our own very own ways. And the video, the video is crazy.
Yeah, it is.
I had a makeup artist and a hairstylist and stuff like that freaks me out. But it was fun, man. I mean, it was crazy because it was just sort of, I just decided, okay, Rosie, you can do this. You can put on a neck brace. You can put on a pretty dress too. You can be just fine. And we did it in one day at this mansion in the Hollywood Hills, and it was freaking cold. And, man, it was so fun, though. Everybody that worked on it, they couldn't have made me feel more comfortable. And I had to lip sync, you know, to the song. So I thought, wow, this is hilarious. I feel like a pop star right now. But it was really fun. And I think I watched it 3 times and decided never to watch it again. I had to critique it, you know. It was pathetic. I got to the point where I was like, you know what? I think you should just keep the animation in, and just, if you just want to take me out altogether, I think so. It's just hard to see yourself, you know, that way. I kept thinking, who's that girl, man? She looks good, you know. So it freaked me out of it. But so I haven't watched it again, but I'm glad that you get to watch it.
I know. I really, really enjoyed it. I was actually kind of surprised, because I think everything that we've seen you in as far as photo shoots and otherwise is, you know, just kind of like kind of low key and that. And then the video was like, whoa.
Yeah, no, I know. I did that photos for the new record in New York when I was there last winter. And I brought Sufjan Stevens with me. We're a friend of, you know, you know Sufjan's music. And he came with me. And I was like, Suf, I need you, man. This is going to be crazy. And Sufjan was there just like, whoa, just go with it. I'm like, dude, really? All right. You know, I was wearing heels. I can't walk in heels. My nails are painted. I mean, it's really, man, I'll tell you, like, it's stuff like that. It's like jumping out of an airplane to me. It's just so, it's interesting to get that sort of attention. I'm not very comfortable with it. I don't know who very much enjoys having people sort of powder you. But if they do, they should really go into music or acting, because apparently that's what it requires too. So I'm trying to get better.
Well, one thing most people don't know, or some people do now, I mean, they've been familiar with your music for a little bit. I mean, you've been on the scene for a while. It's just, it's the whole comedic alter ego that you have of Sheila, which, and if you could kind of give us a little background on how did that even all come about? Because I thought that was about the wildest thing, because I got familiar with your music so long ago, and then all of a sudden it was like, she does what? How else does it happen?
No.
So if you could, can you share with us just how that even came about? Was that pre-music? Was that at the same time? Or
no, that was definitely pre-music. I basically, what happened is I came across these glasses years ago, and these ridiculous glasses. I found them at a thrift store, and I remember thinking someone should never, like, I remember thinking, what if somebody lost these? They're blind right now. They're never going to be able to see again, because these things were just ridiculous. And I bought them for the fun of it. And I really, really, you know, I'm a huge fan of Saturday Night Live. I love improvisation. I love theater. I mean, I love the whole comedic aspect of not necessarily just even stand-up comedy, but just character acting. And so it became this sort of character I would do, and I would show up at parties with these glasses on and goof around. And then when I moved to Seattle, my brother was working for some company, and he was to sell, like, neck braces and all these, you know, leg braces. For Christmas, he got me a neck brace, an arm sling, a leg brace, and this whole ridiculous stuff. And he was like, it's, you know, for your character work if you ever want to use this stuff. And so all of a sudden, with those glasses, once I put that stuff on, I was like, whoa, I'm Sheila, dude. And so this thing sort of developed. And then I started doing stand-up comedy, and I would close with her every night. And the deal with Sheila is that she, you know, she delivers pizzas. She is this inspirational woman, because she does not let her disability or her, I mean, she was in a horseback riding accident, so she's broken her neck and broken her arm. But she doesn't let anything sort of get in her way, and so she's just this really brave soul that just, unfortunately, sees so much hope in situations that are just hopeless, you know. And So this character started to develop. When I signed with Sub Pop, it was still something I was doing at the time. And so I thought, it was one, I think my first tour, I would bring her with me all the time just to, you know, in case we had an opportunity to bring her out in New York or do something with her. And I just decided one night, I'm going to bring her on stage with me. You know, I'm going to open with this woman. And I just want to see people's reaction. I don't want to let them know it's me. But I wanted to know, could I do this without breaking character? You know, it was sort of a challenge for me. And so that's kind of how it started. Being able to perform both really allows me to feel like I could stay sane a bit that way, I think, you know. And plus, man, it's just freaking hilarious. I mean, everyone needs to laugh. I definitely write from a very sensitive, you know, I want to really affect people in a serious place. So it allows me to sort of give people both, which is really important to me. And so hopefully next summer around the springtime, I will have this documentary done, and then I'll be able to give it to people. So I'm really looking forward to that. I think it's going to be really good. I'm really proud of it. I forget that. I'm like, I can laugh at it, and then all of a sudden, like, whoa, that's you.
Well, we'll definitely be looking forward to that DVD. I know that'll be gracing my collection, I'm sure. Well, we thank you so much for being on the show. We're so excited. We're so thrilled with the album and so excited to see what people are thinking of the Pretty Dress. Oh, you're welcome. Well, the single's called Pretty Dress. So you're going to hear it now. You can check her out at rosiethomas.com. Rosie, thanks so much for being on here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Put your pretty dress on. It's time for you to go to the dance. Dye your hair in ribbons and lace and wear pearls round your neck. Know the pretty princes will see you. All the pretty princes will see you someday, someday. Put your red boots on, it's time for you to walk home from school. Everyone will laugh, they'll point fingers at you. They'll be cruel to cover up your ears and dancing.
Pretty dress on. Put it right.
was Pretty Dress from Rosie Thomas, and she is amazing. Go buy her record. You can get it at rosiethomas.com, or you can download it from iTunes, whatever you feel. I want to thank also Mike Davidson for being on the show. Amazing guy, creator of Newsvine. If you don't know what Newsvine is, you should go there and check it out. Or if you want to see some of his other work, just go to ESPN.com and go, whoa! And because seriously, he's pretty wild. So that is it. Thanks for listening. Check us out next week when I'm sure you hear me say something like, ooh-wee, or snap, or nuh-uh. And I'm Dan Portnoy. For the cast of The Drop, be safe.
You've been listening to The Drop. Your host has been Dan Portnoy. For more information about The Drop, go to thedroponline.com or send an email to info@thedroponline.com. This podcast was produced and engineered by Chris Weigel at Audio Concepts and has been a production of Superhero Enterprises.